Welcome to the Into the 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander is number one. I am your hostess with the mostest, Necrozek, and joined by, as always, Brian, Ryan, Dan, and our special guest for the episode, Hope.
the ultimate return of your girl.
Welcome back, Hope.
It's good to be back, boys.
Welcome back. You were sorely missed in your absence.
Yeah, Hope was briefly fired, but...
That's just not true. I'm just out there hustling.
The fans just wanted her back so much.
Yeah.
All right. So, my friends, I'm glad we've all got through the new year together. We've grown a lot.
Hell yeah.
The most important thing is there were so many Magic sets that came out this year, and there was a lot of good cards. So, I think it's just appropriate for this episode that we talk about all those cards.
Yeah, we reviewed 2020.
Yeah, 2020 in a nutshell, except we don't talk about anything other than cards.
Also, Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year!
I hope you guys had some good holidays with people, celebrated some stuff.
Yeah.
Made it all the way till midnight. Unlike me, I went to bed like an old man.
No. I was in bed at like 10:30.
I loved having COVID. It was great.
Yeah, Zach had COVID. He's recovered.
He's a survivor.
Let me tell you, people, whatever your stance is on masks, just wear them. Having COVID sucked. It sucked so bad.
Yeah, Zach was tired.
Yeah, and he didn't even have it bad.
No energy.
Anyways.
Yeah, no, definitely glad that Zach's not sick and that that everyone, I hope, as well listening, is in good health.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were like a bajillion different Magic sets this year, so we want to...
So much product.
Yeah. Shoved down our throats.
Let's start it off by just saying, like, these are the sets that came out. So there was Theros Beyond Death, Ikoria, Ikoria's Commander, M21, Jumpstart, Double Masters, Zendikar, and then Commander Legends.
And the Commander decks with Zendikar and Commander Legends.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
Zach, you can count.
You know.
I went to public school and I have a bachelor's degree.
Nice. So
I can barely count.
So between the two, you'll get there.
I don't think anything wildly amazing came out in the...
I have an abacus.
I guess there was some pretty good, like Anowon was a pretty good commander, like people like that. But I don't think he makes the top commander list.
No.
No.
I don't think any of the little ones do.
Yeah.
I was at the LGS today, and there's a lady coming in. She's like, I'm here to look at, like, commander decks. And so they were kind of taking her through the decks from, like, all the commander sets from this year. And, like, they hit the Ikoria Jorina Kudrow or whatever her name is. I was like, that one is the best one.
That's a fun one.
Me personally, that is the best one because it has the two favorite commanders in that one, Trin and Silvard.
Let's quickly.
Oh, don't poo poo on Trin and Silvard. You just wish you had a cat nightmare beast.
He's just pooping on Silvard.
Let's quickly.
Go ahead. I do have a cat elemental dinosaur thing that's from Ikoria. That's a commander deck that I play on occasion. True.
But is it a snack?
For the mini decks that came out, first and foremost, I love the practice of these mini decks.
They're not mini.
Call them mini because they're just meant to be like a very basic get into commander. There's only one commander option in them.
They're planeswalker decks, but they're commander decks.
Introductory level commander decks.
Yeah. I think they're wonderful. They had the two most recent ones. One is... Simic Land Matters deck where you get draws in for lands. Wyleth is a really, really cool Boros equipment getting drawn a spell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very cool card as well, Zach.
This card is amazing.
What people
are audio listeners, they can't see.
What card?
Blazing Sunsteel. The equipment from the
Wyleth deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, this card is nuts. It goes in my Taunter deck. I just finally was able to pick one up.
It's a very cool card. There's a lot. What were the other mini ones? Anowon was one, and then...
Oboon.
Oh, I love Oboon. Dung. Love him.
Yeah. A sweet, sweet Naya Lands Matter deck.
Yeah.
Stop.
But yeah, so...
We know.
We're going to go through...
We know, Oboon.
There's first and foremost, there is too many cards for us to nail every good card. We're going to miss some. You're going to have a different list. we're just talking about some of the things that we thought were cool.
Well, and these are also like our opinions. Like my favorite card's probably not your favorite card. And like some of the cards that I'm mentioning aren't even necessarily my favorite cards, but I think they're some of the best cards to come out of these sets. So
I agree.
Without further ado, I think let's dive into Theros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Please, no drum roll.
I'll start with my personal favorite card out of the set.
Okay.
Do it.
And then you guys can do what you want from there. But out of all the cards from Theros, my absolute favorite card was the new Athreos. I love the new Athreos. I thought it was super, super cool.
That's the guys, coin guy, right?
Exactly, yes. You guys know that I love reanimating, and I love stealing things, and I love copying things. That deck does two of the three things that I love.
The Don't Pay the Ferryman deck, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does it in a super unique way. Like, I love the weird coin counters. Like, I just thought and everyone who bought a box had the potential to get Athreos.
Yep.
Which also makes it great. I mean, as Commander players, we typically buy boxes because we want to crack packs. You know, like most people animals. Like cracking packs. Yeah.
Christmas so, Day.
Well, let's also just touch on, too, like all of the gods in it were, I'm sure for every player out there, you're going to find one who likes one of these gods that were reprinted. There's just so many interesting ones. Like, what were you saying there, Hope?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, that's one of my favorite cards in the set is also one of the gods, and we'll hit it. But
well, go ahead.
Oh, it's Thassa, Deep Dwelling. Bounce Thassa. Stop.
Yeah.
The Blink Thassa that will also tap creatures. Are you kidding me?
Looking through the list, like, it's so easy to forget things like the Purphoros Bronze Blooded Sneak Attack from the Command Zone.
Yeah.
Oh, I made that deck. It's one of my favorite decks I've ever put together. I made a Phoenix Tribal with it. I just absolutely love the card. I love the design. I love the constellation frames that they did for them.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Do you know why? Like taking like say like the trip back in time to the set, it's like just going through and just seeing some of the cards that are at the top here. Like the Nyx Bloom Ancient.
Do you remember how big of a deal Heliod was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I still have one of the constellation ones.
But you know, was a huge thing. People lost their freaking minds. They're like, do you know it goes infinite with Walking Ballista? I'm like, everybody knows it goes infinite with Walking Ballista.
So we're also like, we're talking the best, but I have to mention the worst. The
Cure Best the Sea God?
First off, that is a terrible one. But no, the Cure Best the Sea God was a horrible mythic.
What a disappointing mythic. But anyway.
I love that card.
Yeah, but like so as cool. Your mythic, are you kidding me? I'd be pissed.
Compared to the other ones, the like you had the gods. You had Uro Planeswalkers. Like a foil Uro is still what, $100, $200?
I opened a couple Uros and I was just kind of like,
I didn't get a single one and I refused to pay its current price.
Uro's so much fun.
I'm going to say that there's probably one that's probably would be on my list that wouldn't be on any of your lists.
Before we even get to that, I have to mention the temples sucked. I understand that they're good 100%. For standard. I understand that they're good for standard. They were the most feel bad rares for us in these sets. Like these 50 cent to a dollar rare temples were, I don't know. Maybe other people feel better. You
guys heard me complain all the time about it.
Yeah, Brian's boxes were stuffed with these. I was
so angry.
I just wish they would have made new temples and just gave them the land types that they represented, and they
would be wonderful.
And scryed. If they would have been like,
yeah.
If that would have been the thing, I think it would have made the lands better. It would have made cracking packs from Theros better. All that stuff. I mean,
or just made them come into play untapped.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly the way they are, except without the come to play tapped ability.
My absolute favorite card from this set, personally, Dryad of the Elysian Grove. There's just not a better card in the set, in my opinion. I love extra lands. I love landfalls and the Prismatic Vista or Prismatic Omen on a creature. Mm-hmm. I loved everything about that card. I own so many of them. I love them, love them, love them. I pick them up every time.
The foil. Full art one that I have is probably one of my favorite ones.
Okay, flex, Brian.
I wish I could find that one.
Mm-hmm. My card from the set that I thought wouldn't be on any of yours is the uncommon Destiny Spinner.
Ooh, that is a super good card.
Like creatures and enchantment spells you control can't be countered. And then I've never used the other ability.
No one ever used the other one.
Yeah, no, but just being able to stop, like I instantly went into two lane. I don't want you countering any of my spells or enchantments.
Yeah.
Well, something that like we've all talked about without realizing or haven't brought it up is something that they did good with this set, in my opinion, again, was they brought back enchantment being creature type. And if you look at the cards that we just mentioned, aside from Oro, obviously, but everything else was an enchantment. So I'm super glad they brought that back, too.
I've got a couple. I honestly, the basic lands.
I was just going to say, the Pokemon lands deserve a special shout out. Yeah, that was beautiful.
I was going to say that, too. They were definitely on my list, too, Ryan. I'm just like, they were my favorite lands of this year, like for basics, sorry.
And like, you know what? When they came out and like we did the leaks for it, and I took the picture of like your guys' actual Pokemon mana, yeah, Pokemon energy.
The Theros lands look lit.
Yeah. So I got out of Magic in the original Theros block and then got back into Commander in this Theros block.
Oh, cool.
And when I saw the Pokemon lands, my head literally just.
I died.
I did. I was literally like, I don't even know what to do. Those are the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Like the Theros blocks. So when I was playing, I guess Standard at the time when Theros came out, I thought it was terrible. I didn't like any of the cards that came out. I didn't like anything about it. But do you know why? Commander? So many great cards. Oh. Fantastic. Just
Theros. Like,
another card that I absolutely love is Woe Strider.
Oh, Woe Strider is really good. Goat.
Do you want the 0/1 goat?
Yeah.
Where's Benson at?
Absolutely love that card.
Yeah. some goatly cards.
I personally want to touch on what I think the two strongest cards from the set are.
Thassa's Oracle.
Yeah, Thassa's Oracle takes the cake.
Yeah. That is
it,
like,
takes the bakery.
It was format altering to a degree. Like, it became like a quintessential CDH combo piece. It became a quintessential if you have any sort of like blue draw.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you're playing a blue draw deck, this is,
you have to have it.
I think that was a big deck in Modern for a while, right? Wasn't it?
Oracle, I'm sure.
And it's funny because like people would come in to like try to get Thassa's Oracles, and we're like, yeah, I don't think you understand that like Commander players are crackheads.
Animals, Commandimals.
It is still a very, like, very, very hard card to find. I was looking for one maybe a week ago, and Face to Face was out, Star City Games was out, Card King was out.
Yeah. It's just super was out. Popular.
eBay, even, like, I try to, being in Canada, I tend to not buy cards from outside of Canada because the shipping is astronomical.
You get robbed, yeah.
And I ended up having to, where did I get one from? I ended up finding one somewhere online, but it took me a long time to hunt that card down.
A lot of them, yeah, like, a lot of these cards are still difficult to find in stock. Like, Nyx Bloom Ancients don't sit in cases.
No. No,
that was going to be my other one.
There's
one
today. There's one today that I saw at Phoenix that I was so.
A few places
so
I
so close believe, to buying.
I believe a few people went and just power sold some collections off right now.
Yeah,
even like Dryad of the Elysian Groves, insanely difficult to find.
Mm-hmm.
They're just good. They're just so good.
A card that's
$1 million and you never see it in showcases.
Oh yeah. A card that I never see anywhere, Ox of Aghanis. You can't find that card.
Oh. Do you know what? I wanted to bring this one up because this is the biggest bust that we did. We said that it was complete crap.
I didn't like it, but it's not horrible. It's not horrible.
It goes.
Some mean poop about this. Like we.
It's a card that sees more play outside of our format. Like, that's a new staple in Dredge.
Yep.
It's insane.
Dredge, you guys talk about?
The Ox of Aghanis. So let's actually, while we're on it, I want to touch on some of those mechanics as well. So Escape was the new big Theros thing, right? And I personally didn't like it. I love my graveyard as a resource, so getting rid of my things from the graveyard is kind of feel bad in general. I didn't really give this a fair shot when I started the whole Theros thing. Now I'm looking at a bunch of these and they're pretty good, but Escape is whatever the escape cost is plus you exile however many cards it says, and you can cast the card from the graveyard for its escape cost.
That's another powerful card we didn't talk about.
Underworld Breach is the other one that I was going to say is the second the most powerful card in the set.
I forgot about that card.
Yeah. Everything has escape.
Yes.
There was so many cards in this set that made me call people, like just straight out, hey, like, you've got to check this card out. This is crazy.
Oh my god.
He called me about Nyx Bloom Ancient, and then I was like, holy crap.
So another thing I really liked seeing was Nyx Lotus. I thought that was a really cool devotion-based ramp card. It's the 4-mana artifact with, in my opinion, some of the most beautiful art in the set.
So pretty.
It enters tapped. You choose a color, add amount of mana equal to your devotion. A great monocolored card. It wasn't super expensive. A really, really good accelerant to a lot of decks that need it.
It's still pretty cheap, too.
Yeah, like in where we are, at least, it's like $7.
Mm-hmm.
And Hydra's Growth.
Oh, that was another very good card.
Yeah, 2 and a green enchant creature. When Hydra's Growth enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on enchanted creature. And at the beginning of your upkeep, double the number of +1/+1 counters on enchanted creature. Like, if you're playing just, Han was playing this Golgari commander today, Skullbriar.
Yep.
This card would be amazing in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely in there.
Another artifact that really, really does it for me, lore-wise, but also playing-wise, is a Shadow Spear.
Yeah, having a solution to those indestructible gods that they gave us the more
Hexproof.
Of.
Hexproof!
It does it all.
Get rid of Hexproof for 1 mana?
Hexproof and indestructible?
Oh my god, it's ridiculous.
Get your boots out of here. Take those shoes and leave.
Right? So good.
So something I really liked that came from this set but didn't come out of the set was the Secret Lair Gods. I got 2 of the boxes. I was lucky my LGS had them.
The new constellations.
I love that they took the old gods from the Theros set and then they gave them the constellation showcase art.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
I didn't know this existed.
Yeah. So like all the original Theros gods got the same constellation art. Yeah. It is so gorgeous.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I want Mogus so bad.
Brian, I have a Mogus.
Yeah. How much you want?
What you want, baby?
we'll talk about it off the show. I don't want to get in trouble for requesting anything.
Illicit things. Zach wants favors from the dark web.
It's not about money.
The dark web. I'm looking for souls.
It's not about money, baby.
So yeah, I would say that Theros had just a lot of very good cards.
Yeah.
Consensus wise, do we want to say the best card from Theros? Anyone?
Thassa's Oracle.
Thassa's Oracle.
I
would agree with that.
I kind
of
got to say
Merchant Oracle. Of Asphodel.
That was a reprint.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Yeah,
it needed reprint. Fantastic.
Though. The next thing we got this year was Commander 2020. We got it at the same time as Ikoria, and I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. These are the best Commander decks they've ever printed out of the box. Nothing can change my mind because it is a fact.
My favorite commanders that I love to play are from this.
Yeah.
So you think these are better than the ones with Imminence?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not talking about the abilities. I'm not talking.
Oh, you mean play out of the box.
I'm talking about picking up these cards and playing. These are the best printed cards, the best printed commander decks that they've played. There are many stronger commanders. Kalia is much better than like Akeem the Soaring Wind, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that deck is not as good out of the box as these ones were. You pick up Timeless Wisdom and play it against any other deck, and it's just night and day difference. You're going to Mimeoplasm into these super tuned decks. Like, they were the best. You were able to change them up, very customizable, very unique. But all of them, except for, with the exception of the
Mutate?
Yeah. No, not the Mutate. No. The Abzan one.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you?
No, the Abzan one was the weakest Cathril? Out of the box. Yes.
Cathril, Aspect of Warper.
Yes.
Aspect Warper.
But it still was out of the box good. You had very good ramp in these. You had very, very strong effects. You had tons of unique cards.
The fact that a Mardu deck was good out of the box makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Jarena Kudrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also had the 5 free spells.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
First and foremost, let's say that that is going to take the cake in this.
Yeah.
Fierce Guardianship is the strongest card from Commander 2020, bar none.
It is arguably one of the strongest Commander cards this entire year.
I would say by a long shot, because Deflecting Swat is, I think, is a close second.
Oh, yeah. I would say for the top 5, like the top 5 ones are all those free spells. They were...
But I mean, like, Fierce Guardianship and then a close second is Deflecting Swat, and they're way better than the other 3.
I really like the Otremi one. The black one, Exile a Creature.
Deadly Relic.
But yeah, you are correct that the Deflecting Swat and the Fierce Guardianship are significantly stronger. I definitely so like that one, but...
I like Flawless Maneuvers.
That's the Indestructible?
Yeah.
yeah, that was, there's so many. Those are very good cards. Those are cards that will also never sit in cases.
It bumps me out.
Force of Vigor, the other one?
No, not the Force ones.
What's the green one?
It's something haze.
Oh, it's it gives you, what
it's
does it do?
It's a fog effect, but it's all damage.
Obscuring haze? The rest of the turn. Yeah, obscuring haze. That's what it is. Prevent all damage that will be dealt this turn by creatures your opponents control.
Meh.
The weakest one. But still a very good card.
It's still a free fog.
Yep.
Yeah, the other four are insane, though.
So, yeah, first and foremost, I want to talk about Manascape Refractor. That's a silly card, yes. And a lot of people don't realize how good it is because they think that it has to have, like, a different... The mana ability is an activated ability. So this Manascape Refractor for 3 is any land on the battlefield, basically, but as an artifact and not a land. This is a Gaia's Cradle. This is a Bazaar of Baghdad. This is such a good card. Mm-hmm. This is a Thespian Stage to make another Field of the Dead. Who can say?
It just didn't need, I don't know why they needed to put it comes into play tap. That bothers me so badly because I always go to run it in so many different decks, and then I'm just like, gosh, it's just, I hate that I'm paying 3 and then not getting use out of it right away because it's an artifact.
But that's because of Gaia's Cradle.
I understand.
Because it's not a copy of Gaia's Cradle. It is just an extra Gaia's Cradle.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Yeah, there's too many good things. So first and foremost, let's touch on some of these commanders. Brian, do you have some favorite ones from this?
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. My favorites. I'm gonna start with our favorites, Daniel. Our favorite.
It's not my favorite, but it's high up there.
Who's the best kitty of them all?
Silvor.
Obviously. But my number one favorite deck
and
favorite commander. Zyrus the Writhing Storm.
Hell yeah, buddy.
He is by far my favorite deck because it's just every time.
Snake like, Storm.
I played it today and you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play that. I was like thinking like, I'm going to go the Daniel route.
I'm going to try to dirtle
and make as many snakes as you can.
I'm going to try to see just how many snakes I can make. I had 109 snakes.
I was going to say 700 snakes.
But no, so I had 109 with a Phyrexian Altar out, and then Zach blew up my doubling season of Phyrexian Altar.
That seems fair.
I responded to try to stop it as quickly as I could.
But I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'll blow it up.
I did try to kill everyone that turn.
Zach did the Lord's work.
For anyone who doesn't know, Zyrus is 2 in teamer. He's a flying snake leviathan, a 3/5 for 5 mana. Whenever an opponent draws a card except the first one they draw on each of their steps, you make a 1/1 snake. And whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you and that player draw that many cards. It's just a fantastic card. There's so many good decks. Like I call it the bear hug deck because like you're able to run those cards traditionally that give your opponents an advantage, and you're able to get it yourself.
The appropriate name, Daniel. It's the Python hug.
The Python hug? The boa constrictor?
There we go. The boa constrictor. I like that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Get it? Because it's a snake.
Do you have some favorites from this, Hope?
From the commander decks?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, do you want to share them?
Please do tell us, Hope.
Probably. Can we know? Nope, that's for me.
God, I can't remember the name of it. So I must have liked it. What does it look like? But
does it look like a flying shark?
No.
I did like Shabazz.
No, I was gonna say that is my own personal hell.
How about we loop back around?
No, it's Kelsian.
Oh, Kelsian the Plague.
Kelsian slaps.
The experience counters.
I'm an experience counter lady.
A junkie for it.
I am. Yeah, it's my crack.
Kelsian is. He gets 1/1 for each experience counter you have. Vigilance haste, which is a very very strong late in the game. His haste is nuts. He's Mardu colors for a 2/2 and taps to deal 1 damage to target creature you don't control. When that creature dies this turn, you get an experience counter. I really, really like that deck as well. Kelsian's very cool. He's 3 mana, so he's Tiny Leaders viable if you play Tiny Leaders.
You should.
It's very fun. Do you have some favorites from this one, Ryan?
I really like Ukima and Kazur.
Yep.
It was one of the first decks that I built when I got back in. I did like a +1/+1 counters theme deck, but I didn't really enjoy playing it, but I really like what the two commanders do.
That's fair.
That's valid.
Aren't these the ones that are the
Ukima's the werewolf.
You can food chain them, yes, Brian.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, the competitive replacement for Prosh.
Yes. They're very good competitive ones.
I really like Halden and Paco. I think they're hilarious.
Best boy, what a good boy.
Yeah, I loved that episode. I love working that episode because Daniel came up with two different deck lists for it.
Budget one competitive that's just with like, Halden
do you
and
know
Paco.
What? It's budget, and then you built the budget competitive one, didn't you?
Yeah, both of them. I love Halden and Paco. They're some of my favorite pairings. They're very unique, and I love that big old dog.
Yeah.
Dwarf. Super funny.
Zach?
All right, so I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but currently I have 25 commander decks, right? And of my 25 commander decks, 22. 9 are all from Commander 2020
and
Ikoria.
Nice.
Like
I was gonna say are 22 of them Abzan.
I'm working on it. I have a page. I'm doing it. It's just a slow process. But nice. I from just 2020, like obviously Enoch and
Dakara.
Oh yes, thank you. The Scavengers, like that's probably my favorite deck, but I also called an Apoco built. I have Pramacon built.
Ooh, Pramacon's very cool.
Who else do I have built back here? I have Halden and Paco built
twice.
So those are the only Commander 2020 decks I have built as far as like those commanders. I really liked all of them. They're just great. Like they all did something unique. Them bringing back Partner With was very cool.
Love
like they were all the community was very like wanted to see Partner again, but a lot of people were also concerned how that was going to shape the format with Partner being as strong as it was originally. So Partner With to bring it back so quickly after Battle Bond was nice to see. I have nothing really bad to say. I have so many loves from this set and the, you know, Ikoria set in general for commanders. One card that I did feel bad about, but I like it in another format after I started playing it was, the one stupid mana rock that was like, is it Bonder's?
Bonder's ornament.
That was Ikoria, yeah.
So
it was these decks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was
Ikoria. So these are the Ikoria decks.
Yeah.
That was, they're bad. They're very bad. They shouldn't have been printed and they're awful. But, and Popper, they are phenomenal. Ooh, like they are staples in Popper decks.
And everybody would have one because it's a Popper Solar Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's cool. I didn't know it. I've been since, you know, quarantine and everything, I've been delving into it. And like when I saw all these lists running Bonner's Ornament, I was like, holy crap. Like I hate this card and it's actually super good. So some cool stuff to.
Well, and it only gets better assuming everybody else is playing it. So
I definitely have some wild thoughts on these commanders. I'll get to it. But first I have to say, like, I think that Molten Echoes was one of the best like tribal cards that's ever been printed. I just think it's nuts. It's two red. As it enters, you choose a creature type. Whenever a non-token enters of that type, you get a token that's a copy of it with haste, and it exiles at the end step. It is so good. It is so good in Slivers. It's so good when you have it in like Rata, like red-green elves. I just, the ability to double up on your creatures is always good.
My two, just from like going through the list here on Mythic Spoilers, the Species Specialist and the Title Barracuda. Mm-hmm. They are two of my call out cards for the set. Yeah.
Species Specialist is so cool. And people just forget that it's a card.
Yep.
Yeah. And like Title Barracuda allowing everyone to have flash except for your opponents on your turn, like, sounds excellent to me.
For me, the two that I liked the most were Zexar the Exemplary, the Expelliarmus commander. He is just so silly. The Death Touch Hydra that taps for 2 mana of any color, and then whenever you cast a spell with X in it, you get a 0/0 Hydra with X-1 counters on it. Yeah, he's. I just love him. The X matters. Like he is very, very good. But my top card from this set, which I just cannot get over how fun it is to play, as Tayam. I love Tayam, Luminous Enigma, one an Abzan for the Nightmare Beast, the Counters Matter deck that recurs from the graveyard. I just cannot say enough good things about that deck. It is one of the most fun decks I've ever piloted. I am in love with the deck. I'm so proud of building it. I'm so proud of the list in it. It's so fun. It looks so cool. I just love that card.
That's so wholesome.
Yeah.
It's super good. It is very, very good.
Damn.
The card that's really, I think, really stand out in the set was Verge Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yep. Yep, there it is. There we go. So Verge Rangers, 2 and a white, human scout. First strike, and you may look at the top card of your library at any time. As long as your opponents control more lands than you, you may play a land from the top of your library. You may play a land from this way if your
opponents control more.
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
What?
Brian's in the sauce today.
He's having some apple juice.
I think we're on number 8, but don't tell my mom.
It's a New Year's tradition. This is what we do, boys.
I do have to say one of my other favorite things in this set was everyone speculating on Villainous Wealth when Zaxara was spoiled, and everyone rushing out to buy Villainous Wealth only to find out that it was reprinted in that deck. Hilarious.
So funny.
That card was fully bought out, and then it was just like, hey, by the way, it's here.
Yo, you want a Villainous Wealth? We got you.
Whoops.
They did the same thing with it's the card that makes all of your cycling cards cheaper.
Fluctuator.
So funny.
Yeah, Fluctuator. I was so happy to see people get destroyed
hosed on it. That. Yeah, speculate later, peasants.
And one of the cards that it was used as a commander a lot of the times, Alicia Who Smiles at Death, or like used in a lot of decks, like that one was printed here too.
Yeah. She's always forget about her.
Yeah, wow. First strike, and whenever Alicia Who Smiles at Death attacks, you may pay Orzhov.
Yeah.
If you do, return target creature card with power 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking.
Such a good card.
I think it goes without saying that we know what the strongest ones from this is. I've got to give it to Fierce Guardianship. I just don't think anything else is as good.
Agreed.
There's a lot of good things in both the Commander decks and Ikoria as a set, but yeah, I definitely agree with you.
We're not even on Ikoria yet. Squad.
Oh, I know. I have plenty of things to say about Ikoria.
Well, take it away and start us off. I'm looking through that list. Nuts. Ikoria was bonkers.
So as soon as they were spoiled and Mutate was finally like explained,
a thing.
I literally built every single Apex as a deck. The only one I'm missing right now is Snap Dax, but I have all the others built.
I was going to say, didn't build all of them.
You said what?
So you didn't build all of them.
I have a brew. I
built all of them, except the ones I didn't build.
That's still 4 decks. Not bad.
Sorry.
Like... My favorite card from this entire set was definitely Nithroi. If you don't know what Nithroi is, it's 2 white, black, green for a legendary creature, Cat Nightmare Beast. It's a 5/5 and has mutate for 4, hybrid white, green, black, black. Death Touch Lifelink. Whenever this creature mutates, return any number of target creature cards with total power, 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
I have to stop you right there. How is he a cat? He's more like an anteater nightmare beast.
Ooh, I love.
Don't you dare talk badly about my little kitty babies.
He's not a kitty. He is more like he's an anteater. Look at that tongue.
So you guys know I love Abzan. When I saw this guy, I was just like, "Are you kidding me? This is yep." All right, I love Mutate. I love all the Apex. They're great. This set just had so much cool stuff.
You know what always hits me with Mutate is that like I had zero interest in Mutate. It was just like not my thing. But every single person that I see build Mutate decks has like the best time and they love it so much and it looks dope. But I'm just like, ugh.
Well, you guys know my love for uncommanders, and I have the 2 uncommander decks I have built. I have Griselda Monster Masher and I have Commander Surgeon General. And that's where Mutate came from, was the Augment and Host. So once Mutate was actually spoiled, I was like, yes, this is what I want.
Oh my God,
do.
It's legal. So.
Before anything, before we get off the Apexes, the amazing Godzilla or crossover art that we had for those cards.
And the comic book art, dude. Oh my God.
Yeah, the comic book art
itself was amazing.
So nice.
I, I honestly think this is the best set of the year. I'm going to continue to talk about it, and you guys are going to have to stop me. But, like, the Apex, they're sweet. Mutate, sweet. The Ultimatums, for them, A, to bring them back is insane, because I loved the
I'm just Alara like, hello, block. Alara. Bring me back, boys.
Eerie Ultimatum blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to my computer at work right now and you turn it on, my background is Eerie Ultimatum. I've had so many people ask me what it is. I love the Ultimatums. All the Mythos are sweet. Oh,
Mythos of Snapdax.
There is not. I have to ask you, how would you describe the art for Eerie Ultimatum if someone's asking, what is that? Well, it's just a bunch of animals hovering or levitating in green purple. Oh,
it's easy. It's Pet Cemetery.
That kind of makes sense.
Sometimes Jet is better.
I retract my statement.
I thought you were going to ask about the Mythos. I was like, oh, those are cave drawings, dog.
Like, it's so easy.
Oh, no.
I mean, the Mythos.
I haven't had that many drinks yet.
The Mythos were great. All the mutate creatures were super unique. The fact that we had all this cool different art, whether it be comic book or the kaiju, even the legendary creatures. Like
my favorite, Luminous Brood Moth.
I literally have it open on my list of like cards that I love. Luminous Brood Moth was wild.
They literally reprinted Birthing Pod as a creature in this set, and they gave us Companion.
Food Artisan is so amazing.
Nothing has been more like controversial than like Companion, like as a like mechanically, that was wild.
The fact that they had to like, change mechanics.
They're like, hey,
we didn't think this through. Sorry,
we really. I don't know. I don't know who got a pass for Rosewater, but
and all right, Companion did nothing wrong. At least in Commander, I think it should be changed back to how it was because I think it's perfectly fine. But the last thing I will talk about, then I will start sharing. I'm sorry, guys, but the Triumphs. Like this Ikoria.
Fetchable Trilands.
I think Ikoria.
Remember when everyone was just like, the Trilands are pretty good. They're going to be like $2.
I wish they're all like $1.50.
Any of them for $2.
Same. I'll buy them all for $3.
Send them all to me. I will PayPal you the money.
One of my favorites,
$5
straight up from this set, is a meme card. But that's kind of the road that I'm going down lately. This is my path, and it's Dranith Magistrate.
Card after my own heart,
dude. That card is my jam. I love it. It's so mean.
I'm happy to see you're finally coming over to the dark side.
Yeah. You know, I just like, I built one salt deck and I'm like, I should do this again. And it's super fun. Let me tell you what. But what I would say is my personal, like, best card from this set is the Ozolith. Without question. That card is ridiculous.
They also.
It's a one drop.
It's
a great card.
The Bastion of Remembrance, they gave us like the stack, or not the stacks piece, but the
Aristocrat.
Aristocrat piece in an enchantment form.
We also got a better explosive vegetation and migration path. It does the same thing, same mana cost, but you can cycle it.
Yeah, let me jump in there. This set started off probably the worst thing for Commander of the Year, which is the absurd power creep. This set is one of the strongest ones. And like you just said, you got a better of this, a better of that. Wilt is just, why would you run Naturalize when there's Wilt?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's just they...
Porque no lo dos.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah, they replace so many cards with just strictly better cards, right?
Exactly the same thing, but cycling. And I'm like, great, obviously that's what I want.
Yeah, there was insane power creep in the set, like Kin and Bonder Prodigy.
Cross that off my list?
Yeah. The Simic, whenever you tap a non-land permanent for mana, add one mana of any type that permanent produced, is silly with a mana sink in it. Look at the top five cards of your library. Put a non-human card from Mungamon to the battlefield and the rest. Obviously, like, there's no way to look at that and not have it be a competitive card. Like
Dan, I'm going to straight interrupt you because I want to cover a card real quick because I know it's on your list as well, and I want to get one in the original. Oh. Is Barrier Breach.
Oh, that's Barrier Breach isn't even, that's not even one of the power creep cards. That's just one of the best cards printed this year.
The card is so good.
That card should...
I don't think I even know what that card is.
Oh, oh it should be in so many decks.
I just mentioned it, and there it is.
It's two colorless and a green for an instant, and you can exile up to three target enchantments, and it has cycling too.
Yeah,
how have I not seen this card?
That's some of the stuff that needs to be in the game. Like that is a very, very good card.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you, for introducing me to this card, because I did not see this.
Same thing.
It deals with so many problems.
Same thing for Dire Tactics. When Swords and Path weren't as accessible earlier in the year, Dire Tactics was, if you're in the colors, is just awesome. Mm-hmm. White and a black for an instant, exile target creature. If you don't control a human, you lose life because that creature's toughness.
Yep. There was a ton. The cycling on so many cards was just nuts. And like you said, exactly, that exile effect so rampant.
Mm-hmm. This is probably my favorite set of this year, easily. There's just so much good stuff.
There's just all these sets that had so much good stuff in it.
The companions are what I was saying is they're nuts. They're silly. Mm-hmm. They're really, really good. And there's so many. Zerda's another one of the, obviously you don't have to play it competitively, but to me it was it just jumped at me as I'm going to make this a competitive deck card because it's silly.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, training center or training zone, whatever it is. Training grounds.
Training grounds.
Ooh, I'm in the sauce too. Training grounds in the command zone in hybrid mana. Silly. Silly how good that card is. And then you have so many other things. Like you had the Shark Typhoon. Why would they print that?
They're animals.
Yeah. Shark Typhoon.
What was
Sharknado?
Zerda is able to go infinite with two artifacts.
Zerda is able to get infinite mana with any artifact Basalt. That untaps. Basalt Monolith, Grim Monolith.
Yeah. Yeah. Those were the two that I was thinking of.
Many other ones. Zerda is able to equip most of the swords for zero mana.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true, Sandy.
Yeah, it's real good. The ultimatums, as we talked about, were really, really good cards. Really good cards. All of the Mythos cards, that whole cycle, silly.
God, dude.
Yeah, they were very good. But this set is just, bar none, the most powerful Magic set we've seen in recent times. You've seen a lot of cards from this be banned in multiple formats. Everywhere you've seen, not Commander as much, except for Lutri. They did my boy wrong, but obviously they had to.
I just love so much that it feels like when Wizards printed the set, yes, they did. I don't know the kind of playtesting they did or what they didn't do, but
they played it blindfolded, really, drunk.
Blindfolded drunk and only as Commander cards. They're this is fine.
I just love it because it really. This was a set when I was cracking it open. Every single card I set in red, even though I looked at all the spoilers, it's just there's just so much you can do, so many things you can use.
Every commons card and uncommons felt good.
And it's not even so much just power, because they were better ofs, you were saying, Dan. It's also just the fact that I want to build mutate decks in every color. Cool, there is mutate cards in every color. They all do something unique and different. And there are cards, that obviously just keep synergizing with that. They did such a good job of really harking on this theme of evolution and growth within these species. Mm-hmm. And it was just displayed so well. And even bringing the Godzilla, alternate cards, I love that.
Yeah, these
stuff.
Big monsters. One of the other things I really like from the set was, obviously, because y'all know that I live and breathe for the lore. But I just really liked.
And you do.
I do. I just really liked all of the cards that had any sort of reference to the relationship between humans and monsters. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I thought it was really nice because that's just that's why I was also let's give Vivian a little moment in the sunshine. Good for her.
The bonders. Bonders are so cool.
Bonders are so dope.
There,
dog bonders.
There was a lot. This set is probably the first set as well that I looked at that was not designed for Standard. They hosed Standard players with this. This was for Commander. They've abandoned, at this point in the game, I believe they abandoned Standard as a format and just said, hey, we're playing Commander now. Work the format out yourselves.
They got tipped off that the COVID was coming and they were built a Commander set so we can play home on game.
Insider trading.
Honestly, honestly, flat out though, there's just so many cards that were great for Commander. And going back to the power creep thing, power creep isn't all bad. A lot of these cards being strict upgrades or better cards really enable new players to get into the format, into the game. And there are some great cards for starting your first Commander decks.
100%. Like yeah. the being able to build a human tribal deck because you got mm-hmm. more lords and more gas for it is absolutely amazing. Be able to do like a Kenrith human tribal mm-hmm. for five colored humans.
General Kudrow.
Yep.
Yep. And Jarena and just all of them. All of them.
Winota's a very cool card as well.
Winota. Chevelle.
I'm pretty sure she got banned in 1v1.
Winota, 1v1's not a real format.
But still, it's a thing. People play.
That's like saying it's banned in my basement. No one cares.
Whatever.
It's fine, not banned here. I
won't bring her down.
Huh?
Even if you don't use the commander or the companion ability, every single one of the companions make a good commander.
Yep, they're very cool. I have a Lutri deck built, and I'll play it anyways.
One of my favorites is Kahira.
Kahira the Orphan Guard?
Yeah.
And Karuga?
Karuga.
Yeah, not my son. Not the Optimus or...
Dinosaur the, Hippo?
Zach,
I'm already... Lurus.
Lurus is a really good card printed.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it doesn't see more playing commander, to be honest.
I run it everywhere I can.
I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
This meta out here really likes it.
Yeah, this meta is a nightmare.
I'm currently working on Kodama Yamori. I'm so excited for that deck.
Ryan, did you have any you wanted to touch on here? We kind of jumped over you there.
This set, honestly, while it has a lot of powerhouses, I don't think anything other than like Hope stole my Ozolith.
Yeah, Zach stole it.
Kinnan Bonner Prodigy. Like,
I think that was me with Kinnan, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a nightmare for with Atraxa. I'm a 1/1 counter girl, so I had to take the Ozolith. I hope
one last thing to talk about on this set, too.
I don't play it as much because I don't play a lot of blue, but I really like Shark Typhoon.
Mm-hmm. Shark Typhoon!
Sure. Like Hope probably just had a bunch of shivers saying Sharknado.
I mean, okay, I'm not that afraid of sharks.
You're kind of afraid of them.
I'm afraid, but I'm not so afraid that I can't say the word.
Shark.
Don't make me look at him though. Voracious Great Shark, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Yep.
So.
Pouncing Shore Shark.
What do we want to say is the strongest in these sets? My vote personally is the Triomes and Ozolith.
I go for the Ozolith. I don't think it's fair to say the Triomes. Obviously the lands, but yeah.
I'll tell you, there's never an instance of casting Eerie Ultimatum where it's not a blowout.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, Eerie or Ruinous is very good. I'd honestly say Draenith Magistrate has to be up there, too. Yeah.
Probably one of the strongest ones. That card does hose some strategies.
Yeah, it does.
It definitely does.
It sure would be a shame if your deck counted on your commander. It's crazy.
I'd say the one thing that we didn't mention was the crystals.
Oh, I
knew the three
delightful
colored,
ramp
with also cycling.
The new three colored crystals with cycling. Yeah.
What? No reason not to play them.
So good.
And I had like a couple of really cool like foil ones. So I was like, I have to put these in places.
Obviously, because you are a magpie.
As Lotus tells me, I'm a magpie.
She gets it.
Yeah. Also, honorable mention, even though it's really high mana and you don't see it too much, Colossification is silly.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Is that +20/+20?
Yeah, thick cat. Big kitty.
That art's so good.
I like the big caterpillar. The alt art. Oh my gosh. Big caterpillar.
I also really like Koglo the Titanate.
Yep. You don't see that card enough, honestly. It's a very cool card.
Definitely not King Kong. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
I don't get it because I'm fairly positive that Toho owns the rights to King Kong. So I don't know.
I have no idea. It was really weird that they didn't do that.
It's because the people that own the rights to Godzilla don't own the rights to King Kong.
I thought
it's because of the remakes.
Yeah, so instead we got definitely not King Kong.
Wink.
Which is fine.
Yeah, there was very cool cards. I do think that the companions also deserve just an honorable mention. Every one of them is good.
Yeah, they're a very neato burrito, if nothing else.
They all fit into their own spot. I really love Gigantha.
I really wish I could play with Lutri.
I say do it anyways, dude. I'm making a Grizzlebrand deck. What do I care?
I tend to not try to break the stream only because I play elsewhere and some other groups are sticklers on stuff.
We'll just play it with us.
Have you tried hitting them?
No.
Well, you just keep that in your back pocket.
What you need to do is make Gaddock Teague. Then if anyone complains about your deck that includes Lutri, you play Gaddock Teague.
Until...
Dude, I'm just going to make them all hate me when I start playing Archelos.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get it?
So do we want to move on to the best core set that
before...
that's ever been printed ever?
Yo, first off, before that, did you guys have any other votes on your favorites?
What?
Other votes on strongest cards? I said Ozolith.
Yeah, I think we hit it.
Yeah, only you and I hit it.
No. Is that, you just weren't paying attention. You're too saucy.
I do have to say Brood Moth for 4 mana and Zach said the word a little while ago. What did you use again?
Aristocrats.
Yeah, there we go. That one. Key word for the night. Aristocrats deck. Like that is amazing, being able to sacrifice and then have everything come back with flying.
A flying counter.
Yeah.
Oh, that was another thing we forgot to talk about. Keyword counters.
Ooh, yes,
oh my god.
The set keyword counter.
Keyword counters were pretty cool.
I didn't realize it, but I definitely think Ikoria is probably my favorite set now. It used to be Innistrad, but I think it's Ikoria.
I thought you just said this about the last set we talked about.
I'm gonna throw out a shameless plug on a not sponsor, but if you play with Ikoria stuff, the Infinity tokens are great for keyword counters.
Very true.
Keywords.
All right. So now can we move on, Daniel?
Yes, now we can go to the next ones here. Now, obviously,
we just skip the set. It was garbage.
Honestly, flat out, first off, I'm going to just call it all 15 artworks of Teferi are great.
One minute. I guess, what set are we talking about here?
Yeah, this is Core 21. Core 2021.
Oh, okay.
I also do think, I don't know who said it, but it is probably the strongest core set printed.
That's definitely what I said.
Mythic is good.
Yeah, how do you choose the strongest from this set when you look at, like, here's Chromatic Orrery. What?
I know the best card from the set. I didn't know we were already there.
No. I'm saying how can you choose one when you're looking through all of these cards that just
slap? So good. And I would assume that your the top one, Zach, would be Brash Tonner.
It is. Yeah. It is the best red card ever printed. I will stand and die on that hill.
Let Zach get Brash Tonner out of the way. Go ahead, Zach.
You said what?
You just get it out of the way. You go on this Brash Tonner.
All right.
30 seconds. The floor is yours.
Look, if you don't know what Brash Tonner is, you've definitely screwed up in life. Brash Tonner is a 4 and a red goblin, 1/1. Doesn't sound great. Has indestructible. Okay, it gets better. Whenever Brash Tonner is dealt damage, it deals that much damage to target opponent. 2 and a red, tap Brash Tonner, it fights another target creature. So already this card's amazing on its own, but we got so much support for this card in this set with stuff like Conspicuous Snoop, another goblin that now lives in Modern, which I'm not going to talk about with Conspicuous
Snoop. Fiery Emancipation.
Yes, that's what we're going to talk about. Fiery Emancipation, which is where, if you guys don't know, that's where Brash Tonner actually lives. He only comes up to the surface to taunt people to go back to the Fiery Emancipation. Fiery Emancipation is 3 red for an enchantment. If a source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player, it deals triple that damage to that permanent or player instead. Yeah, I cannot tell you how many times I have killed the table with these two cards. It's not Magical Christmas Land. It happens. And I will die on the hill. Brash Tonner is the best card, red card ever printed.
Like ever? Out of everything?
Ever. That's what he claims.
Like
that's
even including the cards that trigger him?
Yes. Nah, Zach's wild. He loves the card, though.
It's better than Wheel of Fortune.
It is. Because it doesn't cost $7 billion.
You're insane.
But
That is a valid argument about the $7 billion, though, I will say.
But in all reality,
7 billion moose bucks.
What's really awesome about Brash Tonner and a lot of the cards that we saw in this set were they were super unique. I will say, like, for a core set, you know, we never really know what we're going to get from a core set, right? We always expect our expansion sets and stuff like that to be the cards that are going to have the cards that are like unique and super flavorful and really interesting. And honestly, oh my, there's just so much cool stuff with. You know, from the
this set was really good.
From the new planeswalkers, like, really we got new legendary creatures, like even just the normal. If a set has Baneslayer Angel and Massacre Worm in it, it's a great. You're not. I cannot be convinced otherwise.
Two of my two of my favorite cards from the set, Veto and Teferi's Ageless Insight. Like, those two legendary permanents are absolutely amazing. Veto, Thorn of the Duskrose, 2 and a black, legendary creature, vampire cleric. Whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life. Pay 3, 2 black. Creatures you control gain lifelink until end of turn. Fantastic. And like, that card's amazing.
It's awesome because this is where they started sneaking in clerics and all the other like creatures that we're going to see later.
Rogues.
Yeah, that we're going to see later in the Zendikar set that cared about party mechanics. Now, like, I remember we were talking about Aura and we were just like, oh crap, this was a couple sets ago. You know, like, we can start shuffling these cards over.
Right. I'm blown away by Elder Gargaroth. That was like a 6/6 for 5. Vigilance, Reach, Trample is amazing.
That would have been great. That would have been plenty.
And then they add on, when it attacks or blocks, you can create a 3/3 beast, gain 3 life, or draw a card. I'm just like,
yeah.
Is this a planeswalker?
Literally, right? it's like a light primeval bounty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does everything.
It's dope.
And none of them are bad.
No, none of them are bad. It's whatever you need. Whatever you need, baby, we got you. One of my favorite like cycles from this, I don't know, is the shrines also.
Yep.
That was gonna be mine. Just
looking at those. You're like reading my mind here, Hope.
Yeah, I'm in your brain. I'm in both of your mind brains.
I love the shrines.
I think
the biggest drop, the biggest fail in this set.
Animal Sanctuary?
No, Colossal Dreadmaw. Wrong.
No way! Best card printed in the set. Are you kidding me?
Colossal Dreadmaw is the best
card in this set.
They have reprinted him too many times in the last like 8 sets.
La 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 la. Best. Don't you ever talk.
Stop. I will argue about. I no, no.
That's enough.
Card in the set that I can't
remember. You're enough.
Was before it was printed, Grim Tutor was like 11 million moose bucks.
And now it's like $22.
This set had amazing reprints.
Yeah.
They reprinted it in this set. It dropped to nothing and nobody plays with it.
Yeah, nobody does play with it.
Very few people play with it.
I think it's because so many people are so used to not playing it already.
That's the same thing. I mean, I guess I'll touch on it when we get to the set. But there are other reprints that I have the same feeling about from this year.
I feel you, sister. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hell yeah, buddy.
Azusa was one of the best reprints in this set. Such a good card. The fact that it came down so much in price.
Yeah. They're like $12 in Canadian. And is that free.
Yeah, they were like $50 to $60.
Yeah. Now even the original ones are only like $30, $35. It's awesome.
I was so close to getting back into playing Modern because Azusa's came back. I was like, I can play Amulet Titan again and it'd be, you know, somewhat affordable.
Do it.
I was just going through these cards, ladies and gentlemen.
Cards.
And I don't know if it was because I got my beer goggles on or not, but Waker of Waves? Is that a spelling error on Wizard's behalf? Should that have been Maker of Waves?
Nope.
The giant whale?
Nope.
How do you wake waves?
By moving when you're a giant whale.
Yeah.
Do you call that wakes?
Brian, I really severe apple juice.
Okay. Did we talk about Basri Ket or Mangara while I was taking off?
Your Almond Ket Planeswalkers called Basri Ket?
No, we didn't.
Yes.
Who's that from?
It's just a meme.
Oh, I thought it was somebody.
No. Basri Ket is a wicked card.
Basri Ket is one of the best Planeswalkers to ever happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
Read him.
I found it. Basri Ket's 1 white-white for legendary planeswalker. Starts with 3 loyalty. You can +1 Basri Ket to put a +1/+1 counter on up to 1 target creature. It gains an instruct once on turn. You can nag 2 whenever 1 or more non-token creatures attack this turn. Create that many 1/1 white soldier creatures tokens that are tapped and attacking. Nag 6, you get an emblem with, at the beginning of combat on your turn, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token, then put a +1/+1 counter on each other creature you control.
Nope, each creature you control, not other.
Yeah, I didn't mean it that
way. It's solid.
So good. Like I just said, I am the 1/1 counter queen.
I have called you that, yes.
I know. I accept my title graciously.
I'll tell you, a card that I absolutely love. For the minute I saw it, I picked one up. It's in a deck, and I've never cast the card. This Mangara the Diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
three colors white for a 2/4 with lifelink, and whenever an opponent attacks with creatures, if two or more of those creatures are attacking you or planeswalker you control, draw a card. And whenever an opponent casts their second spell of each turn, draw a card. The card is insane for white.
Yeah. You know what's also nuts about Mangara? Human cleric.
We're but like boys. Mangara should be blue.
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. Mangara's abilities are blue, and they're just like,
it's cool. Yeah. Green, fine.
Like, oh, it's cool. It's cool.
I mean, green are the same color.
Y'all out here, y'all out here complaining about white. We got you.
Fabled Passage is also crazy good.
Yeah, it was a good reprint.
That's not a reprint. That's this set.
No, it's a reprint.
Fabled Passage
from Throne. Yeah, it was from Throne.
I thought it was this one.
No.
It was in Throne.
Yep.
Oh, I was thinking Prismatic. Is its own.
Another card that was an amazing reprint was Heroic Intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think I cracked six of those in the M21 boxes that I cracked.
And yeah, and they were pricey.
And all I was pissed when I first cracked it, because this was me getting back in the game, and they were like, everybody's like, dude, that's like a $20 card. I'm like, wait, what? Mm. And they now all six of them have homes.
My my biggest gripe with this set is Rin and Ciri. That card's exclusivity is brutal. Yeah. It was only a buy a box. It's very popular.
Yeah. Dogs, cats, Naya. What more do you want?
I was really bummed. This was one of the buy a boxes I couldn't get from my LGS, because by the time I got there to get my box, they were all out of the promos.
What? Did you ever get your hands on one?
Mm-mm. They just didn't get enough. It was part of our, it was part of the issue when everything started to get wonky.
Yeah.
And
I feel that. That's how that happened to us with the mana confluences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another amazing reprint was Solemn Simulacrum. I cannot begin to put, I never have enough of these. I always put them in every deck. I just love everything about this card.
Same with Scavenging Ooze.
I don't use Solemn ever.
Really? Well, you play a lot of
two decks.
You play a lot of green though, where, I mean, you do like your ramp.
Oh, I ramp hard. Yeah, I don't know. I just, I personally am not a huge fan. I know everyone really loves Solemn Simulacrum. I just, eh.
Oh, I'm a complete idiot. The best card in the set, maybe Brash Honor, or it's Village Rites. Oh my god, yeah, I forgot Zach this was that in card here. Too.
It's phenomenal.
Here he goes.
If you guys don't know, 1 black instant as additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a creature.
What in the heck are you wearing?
New anyways, Christmas gift.
you sack a creature and draw 2 cards. Oh, you're gonna path my. Whatever, that's cool. I'm gonna Village Rites. You lose this, the spell fizzles, and I get to draw 2 cards, and I get to put my creature in the graveyard.
Sucks to suck.
You being a member of Solemn Simulacrum, it's 5 mana. When it comes into play, you search your library for a land, put it in play tapped. No, just listen, and then you sack it and draw 3 cards.
Oh yeah, I see what you're doing there. So yeah,
for 5 mana, you get a land into play tapped and 3 cards.
There was just, this is another set where I was like, man, I spent a ton of money on Ikoria because I wanted to build so many decks. And then I was lucky enough, my cousin bought so much of this set that I could just, he just gave me things. He's like, oh, I've got full arts of all this stuff. You can have whatever you want. So I lucked out in that regard. But this was a set that like, ugh, it was, like I said, I think it's the best core set that they've printed.
I really like New Rata.
Yeah.
Oh. New Rata, right? Look, hold on here.
Yeah. Ryan, you can go on about Rata here.
Oh my god, hold on, let me find her just so I read all the text correctly.
Or incorrectly if you're me.
Rata Heart of the Keld is 1 colorless green red for a 3/3, a legendary creature elf warrior. As long as it's your turn, Rata of the Keld has first strike. You may look at the top card of your library, and you may play land cards from the top of your library. And then you can pay 4 red-green, and Rata gets +X/+X where until end of turn, where X is the number of lands you control. I have a Lands Matters deck based around this. It is a blast to play. It does so much work. You can surprise, oops, I kill you out of the blue with her.
Yes, you can.
You're just like, I'm going to attack you with a 3/3, and they're like, I'm at 40 life, I'm okay. And you're like, nope. She just
dead. Blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Yeah,
that is probably my favorite deck I own is my Rata deck.
I also really think Liliana Standard Bearer was a cool card.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bastard's Lieutenant was one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. That was a card that I accidentally found out was amazing in my scavengers deck when I was playing. Like, it's phenomenal.
I stepped away real quick. Did we talk about the cat dog?
Yeah, I said that it's how exclusive it was a problem. I think it's one of the better cards in the set. It's very popular.
I now that I actually have a deck built with it, it's a lot of fun. And like, this is like one of like the buy a box promos that I didn't get.
We went over that about how it kind of felt bad if you didn't get some of the new promos this year because of the problems.
Yeah. Is that card expensive, Hope?
It's about $20 to $25
if you can find it.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
Did Hope or anyone discuss my girlfriend?
I don't know who your girlfriend is.
The indulging patrician.
Oh my god. No, we didn't. She is gorgeous. So
Indulging Perdition is one, and Orzhov is a vampire noble, uncommon, flying, and lifelink. And at the beginning of your end step, if you gained 3 or more life this turn, each opponent loses 3 life.
And not to mention, she's fine as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Another amazing, like... Another set that had amazing art, just literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, when I saw the art, it wasn't even like the card's ability or anything. When I saw the art, I was like, this is fantastic. Like, the pink/reddish moon in the background, like, her holding her victim, like, it...
So
I guess, like, I grew up on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's what I kind of felt.
Yes, dude. This was another good set that had, you know, like Dan talked about with Teferi having 14 different printings. This is another set that I thought the showcase arts were amazing. Like the Planeswalker lands were very, very cool. The Planeswalker treatment for, like you talked about Liliana's Standard Bearer. Like that's one of my favorite foils from this set. I run in a couple different decks and it's beautiful. They did, you know, you can say what you want about like the showcase arts and how they do things with it, but honestly, like as a collector and commander players, like this is the kind of stuff that I love.
I think they add something very cool.
It goes back to like we talked about quite a few episodes ago now, but it's about like blinging out your deck and really like how you choose to express yourself through deck building. Like I could run this normal version of Standard Bear, or I could run the showcase version, you know, because I like how it looks.
Sometimes you got to flex.
Sometimes you got to flex.
Feel bad about this set? Those Skylands. I hate them.
Which ones?
The other dry lands.
Yeah, the temples are bunk.
Yeah, I
personally like all the sanctums. Those are my favorite.
I think the scry lands are great lands. I just think that they're feel bad rare when you crack a pack.
Should have been uncommon.
Oh, Ugin being reprinted in here too was also silly. Oh my
god, they reprinted Ugin.
Another card I love in the set is Conclave Mentor. It's a green and white for 2/2, and if one or more +1/+1 counters we put on creature you control, put an additional one on it, and then when it dies, you gain life equal to its power.
Nice.
You know what? These lands as well, like the special lands, like fantastic. I love them, especially Brian, for
special boy lands.
Mm-hmm. You're my special boy, Brian.
How did you know?
My thoughts on the strongest card in the set is obviously Teferi. I think he's silly how good he is.
Every turn, being able to use his ability every single turn.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another card that has 27 different printings.
Before we even do that, his -3 is one of the best removals. Target creature you don't control phases out is really good.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds dumb, but one of my favorite things that Wizards does is they put reminder text.
Mm-hmm.
I love reminder text. So having the reminder text there for phasing, I know it's stupid, but I was just so happy.
It's not stupid. It rules.
A lot of people don't know how a lot of mechanics actually function. Well, reminder text is nice.
Well, especially for mechanics that are not like overtly common, like phasing, you know?
Yeah, Mirage was the last time it had a normal printing.
You know?
So. Oh, and flat out, I have to say that the Cultivate rare art, that is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, the Cultivate was amazing.
So many people complained about that as a rare. I love it. Just can't get enough.
No, change the art, but change the rarity. You can have the same card, but with better and harder to get art as a rare. Like, I understand it. I get it. It's cool. It's a collector thing.
I'm just as long as the card is good. If they print something that's junk with an alternate art and a rarity, and it's just a garbage card.
Box topper brainstorm.
Yep.
I like it.
It looks great.
Man.
So the double masters box toppers when you got a crop rotation.
Yo, the crop rotation rules.
Hey, I got that.
That one's wildly popular for some reason. I don't know why people love it so much, but I'd be mad.
It looks gorgeous.
Compared to what you could have gotten.
Whatever. Could have been Council's Judgment also.
Whatever. A runner-up for the most powerful card in this set is Ugin.
Yeah, Ugin's pretty good. Brian, Zach, thoughts?
For most powerful card, it's Brass Chaunter. I have nothing to say. Like it's just such a unique card. Like I'm not being like jokey or meme-y. I just really like it. I've been playing red a lot more since Brass Chaunter has came out. I just love that kind of design space for a red card. I think it's super cool, super unique. I love seeing what they have been doing lately with this.
Zach actually proposed to Brass Chaunter.
I have a deck dedicated to him. You can go to my Arcane deck right now.
He put a ring on that.
Hope you have a strongest card from the set.
I think strongest is subjective, but I think like my personal favorite from the set is Chromatic Orrery.
It's fair. Chromatic Orrery is good.
So
my favorite, my top power, Pride Malkin.
That's a sassy kitty.
Show cat right there.
That's a sassy kitty if I ever did see one. Oh my God. I know that you can't see me, Brian. I know you can't see me, listeners. But my arms went up and I did like a little like, oh my God.
I was just scrolling the thing and I was like, that looks like a show cat. He's just being all prancy. And I'm going to say that card.
And then Ryan, I can't remember. Did we do one, your favorite?
I think so. I don't even remember what I said though.
Probably.
I'm out in left field tonight. Sorry, guys.
Fair enough.
All good, my dear.
Elder Gargaroth, Mangara, Maskerworm, I love them all.
Maskerworm's really good.
The alternate art Maskerworm, when I saw that, another one of my I just went...
Oh, the big shining teeth? Like, dude, the guy that's like that.
I picked that card up and had no home for it. I didn't have a deck that had black in it and had no home, but I picked it up. So I was like, this card is amazing, and then it needs to get a home.
I'll make a deck.
Until this last set, until Commander Legends, it had no home. It just sat in my binder.
Fair enough.
Then Commander Legends came out, and it finally had a home.
My real, like, top cards for the set would have to be, like, because of Xyrus to Fury's Ageless Insight, being able to draw two cards for every one card. That's just so strong. And then Aura, like in the future sets, Veto, like there's little things like that that make me look at what would be the stronger card, but like the top card, I don't think you can beat the Teferi with being able to trigger it every single turn.
Yeah, Planeswalker instant speed is nuts.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hi guys, sorry to interrupt the flow of things here. Obviously, the episode went a little too long, so we will be right back with part two. Thanks so much for tuning in.